Just going to review just a little bit. We've been talking about the Word of God. We've been talking about the heart. And so how many know the Word of God never returns void? Are you grateful that the Word of God is a seed? And the seed always produces, right? You know, a tomato seed may fail, a cotton seed may fail, a corn seed may fail, but the Word of God never fails. God boldly proclaims to you, His Word will never return void. It will never fail. So it always produces. So this Bible that you have is the Word of God, and this is seeds. And these seeds, when put into your heart, will grow. And hopefully, when you and I learn some things, they'll produce 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Amen? Everybody say, I'm 100-fold soil. How many of you want the Word of God to produce in your life? And so we've got to find out what causes the Word of God to produce. So we know this, the Word, the seed of the Word of God always works. We know there's power in it. It's indestructible. It's incorruptible. Jesus was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. I said Jesus was the Word Himself. There's three in heaven. There were three in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So Jesus was the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. So really what you get in the Word of God is you're getting Jesus Himself, and this Word is alive. It's sharper. It's more active than any double-edged sword. And it pierces between the soul and the spirit. I mean, the Word of God is powerful, and it never, ever fails. Then we begin to look at our hearts, the cardia, the center of you. The Bible says out of your heart flows the issues of your life. So I kind of modernize it a little bit. If you don't like the issues that are in your life, you got to change your heart. Because everybody's always trying to change things from the outside. If you don't like something about you, you don't like something about your life, you don't like what's going on, everybody's always trying to fix something on the outside. But really, the Bible says, if you don't like what's going on out here, you've got to change something in here. And so out of your heart flow the issues of your life. And the Bible says that this cardia, this word, we looked at it, I believe it was over Memorial Weekend, we looked at that and saw that also in your cardia, your spirit, your soul abides there. It's the center of you. You believe out of there, but so much more happens in the center of you, the cardia, that part. And I said this to you, and I want you to get this. How many of you have ever heard of the woman with the issue of blood? Yes. Was she able to believe? Yes. She said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed, right? She believed something. She did something. And it worked, right? Anybody ever heard of Jairus? I mean, Jesus said, you know, don't be afraid, only believe. How many know his little girl was raised from the dead? Amen. Anybody read through Hebrews 11? We call that the Great Hall of Faith, right? But what I want to tell you about all those people is none of them were born again. But are you born again? I mean, if they could believe and just take God at his word, how much greater? How much more can you and I walk in the fullness that God has for us? God lives in you. You're not only born again, most of you are filled with the Holy Ghost. And this is a time, you've got the, what other generation has ever had the Bible on a phone? Come on, there is no excuse for you and I. Amen. I mean, you got it in your phone, your iPad, you got it on a computer. I mean, you got all this stuff coming at you, the seed of the Word of God. All I'm saying is that you and I can do this. No, I said you and I can do this. We can have this. We can walk by faith. I mean, we can have the promises of God. And so, but we've got to learn some things. And so this is what I begin to say to you. We begin to say that, okay, then it's got to be, if out of my heart flow the issues of my life, then I've got to be more concentrated on my soil. Because I say it like this, I heard somebody else say this, but I liked it, so I just kind of took it for my own, and I don't remember, I don't give them credit for it anymore. I just say it like I came up with it, but I really didn't. But, you know, everybody likes no-fault religion. What do I mean by that? Well, everybody likes to blame God for everything. I mean, we got acts of God going all our time, and he didn't do anything about it. I mean, in our own lives, sometimes when something doesn't go right, we say, well, it must not have been the will of God. Although you know it was, and you have the word on it. So we always like just blame God. Why is that easier? Because he doesn't, you know, poke his head out of the sky and yell back at you and say, it's not my fault. How many know if God ever poked his head out of the sky, there would be about 7 billion people hit the planet. Well, why didn't he do it? Because he don't want to. Because he wants you and I to take him by faith. Believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But you see, it's you and I have to get this revelation. I talk to you about this a lot, but you have to get to the place where you understand it's not on God's end. He's not withholding from you. He won't disappoint you. And we have to look at ourselves, and sometimes we don't like to because it's just easier to say, well, it must have been God. But studying the word correctly, especially in the New Covenant and the epistles, we have to see that the Lord's done everything he's going to do. How many know Jesus is seated? He's already destroyed the devil. He's got the victory over death, hell, and the grave. He took his blood, he put it on the mercy seat, and he sat down. And he said what? On the cross, he said, it's finished. Amen? You and I are never trying to talk God into something. If you ever are trying to talk God into something, then you don't have a revelation of what he's already done. I'm not trying to talk him into it. I didn't try to talk him into saving me. I received him as Savior. I'm not trying to talk him into giving me peace. He said, my peace I leave you. I'm not trying to talk him into make me joyful. He called it a fruit of the Spirit. It's on the inside of me. And he said if I would find the word, that it would produce joy in my life. I found this word. I did eat it. And it was the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. So many things are already done, and we have to receive them. And then, so we're not trying to talk God into something. It's not all God's responsibility. He's done what he's going to do. And now he wants us to understand that the heart, the cardia, the center of you, out of it flow the issues of your life. And so if you and I want to change something, we've got to begin to look at our soil. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to look on the inside for a little bit? And let's say, okay, let's see how this works. And remember last week, I said I wasn't going to review, but here I am again. We talked about being hard-hearted. Remember I left you in an uncomfortable place. We were talking about being hard-hearted and stiff-necked, and I called them kissing cousins. Y'all remember that? How many of you know we don't want to be hard-hearted? And hard-heartedness produces being stiff-necked. In other words, we don't like to be corrected. There's something about our society today that nobody likes to be corrected. And being stiff-necked also means that we don't honor those that are in authority. And there's a whole lot of that going on in society, but we're not going to let it into the church. I'm not going to let it in my soil. I don't have to agree with someone who sits in an office, but I do have to respect the office. I may not agree with everything, everybody who's in charge, from a teacher to a police officer to a president. I may not have to agree with what they're doing, but I do have to respect the office. Amen? And because, see, if we start letting that erode away, it really does start affecting your soil. Because if you can't respect someone you can see, you do not respect someone you cannot see. Oh, yes, I can. No, you can't. The Bible says if you can't love your brethren who you can see, then you don't love someone you can't see. If you can't submit to someone you can see, then you're not submitted to someone you cannot see. Amen. 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 And so all this stuff gets in our heart, and we don't want to be hard-hearted. We don't want to be stiff-necked, because what does that do? That messes with my soil. And there's some good seed coming there, and if I don't protect my soil, if I don't understand what's going on in my heart, then I won't think it relevant, and I won't watch it. I'm going to get into this later, but you got three gates to your heart. You got an eye gate, you got an ear gate, you got a mouth gate. And the devil is working on them the way God wants to use them. The devil also works on your gates. And he's trying to throw stuff down into your heart. Amen? And so that's kind of the stuff we want to talk about. But so, how do we know? Can we tell what's in our heart? Can we tell? We absolutely can tell. John 15, verses 7 and 8 talks about, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you'll ask what you will. And it talks about being fruitful or getting your prayers answered. Where is that coming from? That's in your, if the word is in your heart and within your heart you're abiding in him, then you can ask what you will and it shall be done. Then you can look at Luke chapter 6. We can look there at verses 43 and 45. The Bible says that good trees produce good fruit. and that bad trees or evil trees produce evil fruit. How many of you know if you got an orange tree, a grape's not going to pop out of it? Right? I mean, whatever the tree is, it produces. So we need to understand this. If we're constantly, continually producing a fruit that we don't like in our life, we've got to change some things. And we change it by changing the inside, not just working on the outside. When you change the inside, then that Luke chapter 6 also says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth does what? So on a regular basis, you can tell what's in your heart. When you get squeezed, when the pressures of life come, what's in your heart usually leaks out. And so what do you do when stuff is leaking out that is not right? Well, you just give up because there's no hope for you. Good night, everybody. Let's just go home. No. You fix what's in your heart. You don't sit. We're not quitters. We don't give up. Come on. You got to get up one more time and you fall down. If you don't like what's in you, then you begin to do what? Change what's in you. Looking at your heart. Say, why is that coming? That's not what I believe. Why is that in me? How did that get in me? Why is that in me? Instead of just giving up. Come on, there's nobody in this room from me to you that doesn't have to continually, regularly, all the time, every day, check what's going on in here. And a great way to tell is what's leaking. And if something leaks out, you don't have to sit down and get a box of Kleenex and give up and say, I'm not worthy. No, what do? We change what's on the inside. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth does what? Speaks. I do believe in putting your hand over your mouth. I do believe you ought to say what the word says. But if you want to change your life forever, you start on the inside, not the outside. Amen. And so, let's look. I've been trying to get to this for 3 weeks now. So we're finally here. Let's look at Mark chapter 5. Of course, this is the parable of the sower. And this describes the four different kinds of soil. We're just going to look at one today. And when you look at this with me, I don't want you to think, this is not me, this couldn't be me, I've moved past this. And I believe you can look at these soils as people types, but I also know that when we look at these, that any one of us could be any one of these soils at any time. And so we want to make sure that we're understanding this. So Mark chapter 4, verse 14 says, the sower sows the word. If you go right above that, verse 12, let's just start there. Verse 12, Jesus is talking about, he said this, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand. Thus at any time they should be converted, their sins should be forgiven them. Other places it says it like this. It says, it talks about the seeing. What is that? That's talking about your spiritual eyes. Did you know you have not only these big, you know, these beautiful browns or these beautiful blues or greens or whatever mess you got going up in there? Mine can't decide what color they are. And so, but it's not talking about these things. It's talking about your spiritual. So it's your heart has eyes. Your heart has ears. Not these things that, you know, you all use and put earrings in or whatever. Or hold your glasses on with, or whatever. It's not talking about these outside things. It's talking about your heart has ears. And then it talks about understanding. And then it talks about a conversion. The enemy would like you not to be able to see with your eyes and hear with your ears and understand with your heart and be converted. You can be converted not just in the new birth. You can be converted in any area of your life that the word has. You can be converted like me. I was converted from not believing that God cared about my finances and that I had to do it on my own to today. I believe that he cares very much about my finances and he is very heavily involved in it. I went from believing that sometimes God will kill you to every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights with whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. I began to understand that God is never bad. It's because Jesus took care of it all that I'll only see the goodness of God. Amen. I had a conversion. And in every area of your life, you may have to have a conversion. But you can't have a conversion until you've had understanding. And you won't have understanding unless your eyes are open and your ears are open. And you understand. And when you understand, you'll convert. That's why I pray over you. Father, I pray they have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. Because when you do, you'll have a conversion. And that's really what are we trying to convert people? Absolutely. The Lord has always tried to convert us out of unbelief into faith. He's trying to get us out of the world system and get us into his system. Are you all with me? So everybody say it again. I have eyes to see. I have ears to hear. I have a heart that understands. And I will be converted. Amen. So, well, I am already converted. I'm born again. Well, there's many conversions along the way. Amen. Amen. And then he goes on to say this. He said, the sower sows the word. Verse 15. It says, and these are they by the wayside when the word is sown. But when they've heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So there's four kinds of soil. There's wayside soil. There's stony soil. There's a soil that... there's a thorny soil, and there's good soil. How many of you want to be good soil? We all want to be good soil. Well, I confess I'm good soil. Well, I believe in confession too, but it's more than a confession here. There's something that you have to do to ensure that you have good soil. So I don't want to be hard-hearted, because that hard-hearted makes my soil where the seed can't go into it. Hosea 10:12 says to break up the fallow ground. And so what I got to understand is that I... and only I have charge of my soil. You're the only one in charge of your soil. You're the only one with God's help that can do something about your soil. To ignore your soil is dangerous. And see, this is what a lot of times people don't understand. Because the seed of the good word of God always produces something. But if it's hitting certain types of soil. And unfortunately, now you don't have to, I'm just going to talk about me. I could talk about some of you. I know you some well enough that I could talk about you. But I want to talk about me. Sometimes this is me. Oh, Pastor, don't admit that in front of anybody. Come on. Have you ever come into church? So I hopefully don't come this way, but have you ever been sitting, or you get to reading your Bible, or you're doing it out of obedience? And because it's always seed, whether you're reading it, whether you're studying it, whether you're listening to somebody else. I've got a tape usually going in my car all the time when I'm walking on, doing the elliptical. I got preaching in my ear. But sometimes I was like, 10 minutes later, I was like, what'd they say? So, I don't know, my heart doesn't have to be schizophrenic, but there are times when literally your heart, you're just not receiving anything. And it's the good seed of the Word of God that can produce something in you, and it's hitting something hard. And it's wayside. And you say, well, does that mean I shouldn't hear it? No, it means you should change your heart. It means you approach the Word of God as seed as it really is, that'll produce something. It'll change the way you think about it. And so here, though, I want to concentrate on this. So let's just say that sometimes this could be us. And then we're going to look in the end, though, of when this could be a person or a type of person where they're at as someone you and I can help. But let's just say sometimes we get this way. And what does it say? It says the sower sows the word. And so this person who's receiving it with wayside soil, the Bible says it goes into their heart. So all four soils, the seed, which is able to produce what it talks about, which never returns void, the seed that's incorruptible, indestructible, actually went in their cardia. It went in the center of them. But all different kinds of soil gets all different kind of results. It's never on the word's end. The word always works. And so this heart, this soil of mine is very important. And it says, so how many of you know this? Have you ever heard this scripture? Faith comes by and hearing by the... So anytime a seed comes, you immediately, faith came. Faith came. Faith always comes when you hear the word. Now what you do with it is a whole different story. And so when the seed comes and into your heart, it goes in. Now this kind of soil, the Bible says, because it's like sowing seed on a sidewalk. It's sowing seed on hard soil. How many of you know they just did it around here and where I'm from? Let's say last year, a farmer near you had a bumper crop of cotton or a bumper crop of corn. I mean, they had so much. It was the best year. They rejoiced. They had a party. They were throwing cotton up in the air. There was so much of it. I mean, it was just everywhere, and it was the best year ever. But how many of you know next year or this year when it came time to get ready to plant, if they didn't do anything with their soil and all the conditions remained the same and they just threw cotton seed on the top of that soil and did nothing to prepare it, no matter how good the cotton seed was, no matter how good it wouldn't produce, even though it was available to produce another bumper crop. What we do with the soil is of the utmost importance. And I don't think we look at this enough because, again, this causes you and me to do something. It's not on God's end. It's on my end. Well, Pastor Mark, I don't know what to do with my soil. The Holy Ghost will help you. The Word of God will help you. So here, one of the things we have to look at in this kind of soil is what happens is the devil, Satan, comes. How many of you know he's real? And he doesn't wear horns and a pitchfork and have a tail. But he's real. How does he come, though? You see, don't worry so much about the devil, but worry how he comes. How many of the devil's already defeated? Yes. Do you have authority over him? Yes. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist him. But I'm telling you, when your heart is wayside soil or hardened, then when the seed of the Word of God comes, it's just laying on the top. And it's easy for him to pick off. How does the devil pick it off? Let's look at that. Well, how many of you know Jesus said this in John 8:44? What did he call the devil? He said he's a liar and the father of it, right? Remember he was talking to the folks and he said, you're of your father the devil, the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. How many of you know that's true about the devil? There's no truth in him. And says, so when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus is the father of truth. The devil is the father of lies. He's Beelzebub, the father of lies. He's a liar. So what does the devil immediately come to do when the word of God is sown? How many of you have ever come at a time in your life when you were in a service or you heard a sermon or you got the word and you got something, you were so excited about it, but then immediately... I mean, you're on church on Wednesday night, and you got the victory, and you were happy, and then on the way to your car, somebody texts you. You got home, and you had the victory over your finances, and there they were, four bills, three of them unexpected, and you can't pay for any of them. You got the victory, and your body was well, it was healed, the pain really was all gone, and you walked out the door, and it came back on you twice as bad as it was before. What is that? Satan comes immediately. What does he use? He uses circumstances. He uses things you can see. He uses things you can feel. He uses things that are right here because he knows as human beings, we're more aware of our physical surroundings than our spiritual surroundings. And the devil works in the seen realm and the Lord works in the unseen realm. How does the enemy work? Well, the enemy works, he comes with lies. I mean, some of my heroes, Jairus, remember his daughter died. And so what does the enemy try to do? He tries to produce with circumstances, he tries to produce fear. Remember, they said, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master any further. And Jesus said to him, be not afraid, only believe. He said, well, you know, I get that in healing, but how about this? What if, as a young person, a young adult, you know, you have some dreams and you've been believing God for them and they look like they're happening. And then you get a bad report about something. You get a bad report. The devil, what's he trying to do? A circumstance, try to get you to believe it. I don't know. I just, these are the examples that I understand. Maybe it's a young man, young woman who believes they're going to play college ball at the next level, any kind of sport. And maybe a college scout is there, and the Lord has assured them in their heart, you're good enough, and I'm going to use this, and I'm going to let you do it. And then a college scout comes in, and they get a report. No, you ain't all that in a bag of chips. You're actually pretty much average. You're average. You know, Don't try to do this. You need to study, young man. You're not going to go anywhere. Well, how many of you know that's their opinion? That's their opinion. And if you let people's opinion of you keep you from what God told you. You see, it doesn't matter what man says. It doesn't even matter about your natural abilities. If God told you that he's going to favor you and you have something in your heart, whatever it is. I mean, you could just use a million examples. What does the devil use? He uses circumstances. He uses reports. What's he trying to do? He's trying to make you afraid. There's a man named Peter. He walked on the water. Y'all remember that? But what happened? He saw. He did what? Saw. What do you see? With your physical eyes. He wasn't looking in. At first, he was looking at the word come, and he was looking with his spiritual eyes. Jesus said, he said, if that's you, Jesus, bid me to come. He said, come on. So he was walking on the word, come on. He was walking on the word, and he was seeing in the realm of spirit. I can do this because Jesus said. But then he got his eyes off the spirit. He turned to his natural eyes, and he saw the wind boisterous. How many of you know you can't walk on the water? But he was doing it anyway. But why was he doing it? Because the Lord said do it. His faith was working. What did the devil have to do? Immediately. He immediately came with circumstances. Why? Because he's a liar. And he needs you and I to believe in the circumstances so we'll get afraid. And when we get afraid, that's the material the devil needs to cause failure in your life. Amen. I'm telling you, the devil comes immediately. Satan comes immediately. What's he coming with? He's coming with lies. He's coming with circumstances. What else does he do? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:1, it says that we need to be aware of the wiles of the devil. It says also in Ephesians 6:11, it talks about the wiles of the devil. How many know the devil has, what is that? Tactics, strategies. You got to know the tactics of your enemy. He's a liar. He needs your permission. He messes with your flesh. He messes with your emotions. You know what? This is amusing to me in somewhat. I think the devil believes the word of God more than we do. Why? Because he knows what the word of God will produce in you if you hold on to it. What's he going to do? He's trying to get the word out of you. He knows how powerful it is. How many of you know he's met the word? As a matter of fact, he was created by him. The Bible says all things were created by him and for him. The devil wasn't always the devil. But when he fell, remember Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. I saw it. And then, remember when Jesus got filled with the Holy Ghost and went out into the desert? Oh, he met the word face to face. And Jesus, the word, won with the word. And that's our example. But what was he always trying to get him to do? Even Jesus, he was trying to get him to look at the natural. He's a liar. From the very beginning, the devil is a liar. He lied to Eve, and she believed him. That's all he's trying to do. We can't believe his lies. He comes immediately with a lie. He comes immediately with a counterattack. He comes immediately with his wiles. And then the other thing that he does, and he tries to do this all of us, he tries us to get us back to leaning on traditions. The Bible says in Mark chapter 7, verse 13, it talks about the traditions of men making the word of God of none effect. In other words, he's trying to get you, he's always trying to get you and I, the devil is, trying to always get us to lean on the natural. How many know the traditions of men have no power in it? And we have to watch that. And then another one, he said to us, he talks about people who wrest the scriptures. The devil can misquote scripture better than anybody. And then, unfortunately, people pick it up too. Have you ever heard this one? Money is the root of all evil. You ever heard that one? Is that a scripture? No. It's close, but it's not a scripture. What is the scripture? The love of money. Do you love money? What is it? It's a tool. Don't be a tool. Use the tools correctly, right? I mean, I don't love money. I have some. And I use it to glorify God and get done what he wants done. Someone who says money is the root of all evil, they're wresting the scripture. What is that inspired by? The devil. Because it's incorrect. What did the devil do to Eve in the garden? He said, "Did God say?" And when the devil asks you, "Did God say?" you better know what God did say. Because she didn't say what God did say. She added to what God did say. She made it this, he said, you can't even touch it. He didn't say that. But he lied to her. He convinced her that they weren't gods. But how many know that Adam was the God of this world? He convinced her through a lie. What did he do? He stole from her. What did he steal? What God said. If she would have held to what God said. If she would have held, if Adam, if they would have held to what God said. If they would have obeyed what God said. Then the devil would have had no way to steal what the Lord said to them. It's as simple as the Lord told Adam, tend the garden. How many of you know, if the snake got in, Adam wasn't tending no garden. I know we men, we love to blame it on Eve. But we got to tend the garden, and Eve don't need to be talking to no snakes. What does the devil try to do? He wants to wrest the scripture. He wants to twist it. And when you twist it, that's how he comes to steal the truth of the word of God. Now let's look at this. Because if you look at that, so how many of you would agree with me that we all have to make sure that we ain't got no wayside soil? We do not have any wayside soil. Right? We do not, and so who can prevent that? Only me. Only you. I can't prevent you from having wayside soil, and you can't prevent me from having wayside soil. You got to take care of your own soil. And God will help you. How many of you know if you ask the Lord, Lord, they can test the soil types? How about you do this? Holy Ghost, these kind of prayers get answered right away. Holy Ghost, what? Let's do a test. Test? No, I don't want no test. How many of you know that that's not an evil word? What's my soil type? What's my soil type? And I believe that he can show you what's going on in there. And then he can show you, okay, if that's what's going on, if that's why I'm not producing some 30, some 60, some 100 fold, then help me to get it to the good soil type. Lead me. Guide me. Give me messages. Give me instruction that will help me get my soil right. Because, Father, I know it's not on your end because the word always works. Come on, y'all. Somebody, please settle that forever. Just settle it. No whys, no what ifs, no what abouts. God's word never, ever fails. Never. We fail on our end some way, somehow. And you say, well, I don't know why. I don't know how that failed. But guess what? If you can't figure it out right now, you just leave it alone and move on. Follow on to know the Lord. Because if you start dabbling and messing with, you know, somehow God let me down or God failed me, it's going to mess you. That'll really mess some stuff up on the inside of here. Oh, and the devil will rejoice and do some herky-jerky backflips over that kind of stuff. He would love to hear you say, God let me down. He would love to hear you say, God failed me. He would love that to be on your lips. That just brings the devil so much joy. And that's what religion teaches people. But we're not in a religion, we're in a relationship with a living God. And so if we have that, he'll help us. But now how do we help other people? Because now there are people that have this wayside soil, and this is what happened. So the word of God is preached, it goes into their heart, Satan comes immediately, and they're not converted. So there's zero fruit. They came, they hear the word of God. Absolutely nothing happens because Satan just took it immediately. So how do you and I, you want to help some other people? Because maybe this is not us very often, but there's a whole lot of folks around us that this is them. They're not being converted. They're not being born again. They're not walking in the promises of God that are yes and amen. They're not even coming close. So you and I can be a help to them. Would you be willing to help somebody? Can I get the other half of you to be willing to help somebody? Come on, can we look? We're going to start look. This week, we're going to look in our circle, whether it be a spouse, whether it be a friend, whether it be an adult child, a teenager, a workmate, somebody, you know, the guy over in the next cubicle, whatever. Somebody we know that's not walking in the promises of God. How many know the promises of God are yes and amen? Why is that? Because the seed always works. That's why it's yes and amen, because the seed always works. So if I could tell you some things that not only help your heart, but would help those around you. Because I've just tried to make it as clear as I can make it. It's all about the soil. Okay, I'm going to say something that might blow some of your hair back. It's not so much about the will of God, it's about the soil. Because the word is the will of God. This is the confidence that I have in him. That if I ask anything according to his, and the word of God is the will of God. If I ask anything according to his, I know that he, and if I know that he hears me, I know that I, all right? So it may, I mean, you do have to find out the will of God, but you have to find out the word, which is the seed. And so if it's not happening, then it's more about someone's soil, their heart. Y'all with me? It's more about their heart. So how do we help someone who lives in wayside soil, who has had some word given to them, it gets in their heart, and immediately it's gone? What can you and I do? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this. It says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So who is working overtime on their heart? Who's working overtime on them? The enemy. And what has he done? He's blinded them. He's blinded their mind. So this is what you do. You take authority over him. Because even if you're sharing with someone what the word says and it's just not registering, then you need to take a step backwards and say, okay, before I share the seed of the word of God with them, I'm going to do some things. I'm going to do some warfare here. I'm going to do some praying. And I'm going to take authority over the enemy. So it looks like this. I take authority over Joe's mind, and I say that the God of this world can no longer blind his mind so that he can understand and receive the light and the seed of the glorious gospel. And you literally take authority over that. You bind it. You take authority over it. And you loose then the word of God into his life. But you start by taking authority. Are y'all with me? And then Ephesians chapter 1. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding. Again, see with your eyes. Hear with your ears. Understand with your heart and be what? Converted. What's going on? This is the Ephesians prayers. This is you and I. You can pray this for yourself. How many know it's good to pray this over yourself? But then it's also good to pray it over people. Last year, we prayed this over everybody in the church on a regular basis. Remember, we sent you a card. This year, we're praying another prayer over you because I believe in the inspired epistle prayers of the Word of God, and I can pray those over you. So know when you get that card that we have all prayed that over you. One pastor signs it, but all of the whole staff has prayed that over you. And therefore, it's working. And so last year, we prayed the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. What is that? That means your heart, there's a light that comes that causes you able to receive the seed of the Word of God. That you may know. Everybody say, I know. People say, the hope of my calling. It's not the hope of your calling, it's the hope of his calling. That's him. Because when you figure out him, you'll figure out you. When you can find yourself in him, life's a whole lot easier. When you try just to figure out you, you will never figure you out. What you'll figure out is, I need to be in him. And when you know the hope of his calling, what he's done, and the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. So let's all pray this together. Everybody say, I pray the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I would know the hope of his calling. And when you pray that over yourself, and then turn that and begin to pray that over somebody. After you take authority over the blinders that are on their eyes. Why does the devil put blinders on people's eyes? So they can't see. So they can't hear. So they can't understand. So they can't be converted. But what are you doing in the realm of the spirit? I'm praying that your eyes be open so that you can see, so that you can hear, so that you can understand, so there'll actually be a difference in your life. If you've been ministering to someone, or there's someone you love that keeps doing the same old stuff over and over and over again, and they keep going around the same mountain, then they don't have light on something. And you just getting mad at them is not going to bring them any light. You getting frustrated about it is not going to bring them any light. They can't get it. No, I believe everybody can get it. No, they can't get it. And they've proven they can't get it because the devil has blinded them. He's blocked their spiritual eyes. He's blocked their spiritual ears. They can literally not understand. This is helping me help somebody that I know. They literally can't get it. So just getting frustrated at them is not going to fix it. Just throwing more seed at them is not going to get it. You got to do something spiritual about it, and you got to help them. I pray the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. I pray. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that we henceforth not walk as Gentiles walks in the vanity of their mind, verse 18. Having their understandings darkened. It looks like the heart and the understanding, that's the core of things. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. What's the main core problem? The blindness of their heart. The devil has blocked their spiritual eyes. The devil has blocked their spiritual ears. They cannot understand. Have you ever heard someone say, I just don't get that. I don't understand that. I don't understand you, Christians. I don't understand you. What does that tell you? The devil has somehow blocked their spiritual eyes, blocked their spiritual ears, so they can't understand, they can't be converted in that area. How many of you know in our lives sometimes there are different areas that it's harder for certain people to get a hold of? Well, the devil may have wrested some scripture in your earlier life. I had a really hard time with some things with God after I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't understand why he wanted my money. He lives in heaven. Why does he need my money? And I just didn't want to give it to him. I'm just as serious as I can be. It's my money. And why does he need my money? It took me a while to get some revelation on that. And I've told this story before. I'm an accountant. I understand math. And 1 + 1 is always 2, except with God. And it took me a while to get it. But once I got it, and he was asking me for something that I didn't have, when I came back to God, I did not have the ability to tithe. I don't know why we're talking about this, but it'll help you. My eyes were blinded this way, in this sense. I was gloriously saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, but I had trouble with this. But once I got the victory over it and my eyes got opened, I don't think I've missed tithing ever. But I didn't do it until I got a revelation. Should I do it? Pastor, you just gave me a free pass. I didn't give you a free pass. I'm telling you, get a revelation. Open your eyes, open your ears, get some understanding, and then you'll get converted. And then you'll walk in the benefits of it. Amen? Amen. But we can't get frustrated with people if they say, I don't understand. So what should we do? We should pray for them. I pray the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. I pray that your ears would be open, that you would hear. Not these and not these. These. Your cardia has eyes. Your heart has eyes and it has ears. And this is where the out of your heart flow the issues of your life. This tells me I gotta get this in here and I gotta get it right. Because it not only affects my faith, it affects my mind, it affects my intentions, it affects my will, it affects my emotions. If my cardia, which I think it is made up of my spirit and my soul and they're intertwined, then when I put the seed of the Word of God in there, it's not only affecting my faith, it's affecting every area of my life. And when you pray for somebody, come on, I encourage you. I just want you to get excited this week about praying for somebody. Pick one person. I just want you to pick one person besides yourself, whether it be a spouse, whether it be a child, whether it be a friend, a buddy, someone at work, and I want you to begin to pray for them. I want you to be very specific. Father, I pray the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened. I pray that they have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. You've heard that so much if you've been going to church here. I pray that. I just didn't pray that over you just because. It sounded cool. That's what I want for you. That's what God wants for you. And now you take that and pray that for somebody else. And then some of you, maybe today you've got something. Why that person that you've been so frustrated with ain't getting it. Now you know what to do for them. Now you know what to do for them. And I pray for this generation that they would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that would understand. That they would not be blinded by the enemy and the things that are going on in our society and in our nation. That they would not be blinded. I pray that they would have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts that really understand. That they would understand the Word of God and that they would hear it and be converted and their lives would be changed. And God would be able to raise up a generation that knows Him and they will begin to make Him known once again. For this is a generation that the hand of the Lord will come upon, but we must pray for them, we must intercede for them, we must stand in the gap for them, and we must boldly proclaim for them. For the enemy has come to blind them, to come to destroy them, to come to pull them away from Father's house. And we will say, it shall not be so. Because it is our heritage for our own children and the spiritual children, the inheritance that we've been assigned to, that it is a curse for them to go off and serve other gods. And we've been redeemed from the curse, and we will not have that curse. And no one that has ever come through this church, no matter what their age, shall walk away from God. They will not get into the things of this world. I take authority over the spirit of this world that tries to wrest them away from the kingdom of God. I command all those things, the seed of the enemy that's tried to get into them and to change them, I say it shall not be in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You're not going to have any of ours. Amen. Amen. The devil goes after them. He's lying to them. Telling them there's somebody that they're not. Telling them their mama don't understand. It's okay today. It's never been okay. Come on, it's time we get a little feisty. We're not going to lose a generation. We're not going to lose our nation. We're not going to sit passively by. But see, if we just do what a lot of people today, though, they're just getting mad about it. Bible didn't tell you to get mad or get even. It says to pray. Seek His face. Turn from our own wicked ways. Then He said He'd hear from heaven and heal our land. And there's just something about that. Wow. That was pretty strong. Well, that's how you get in there. I just showed you how to get in there and fight. You do that for an individual. How often do I got to do it? Well, till the Lord says stop, or till you see the results. But I believe some good things are happening. And I just know the Lord's setting you up. He's setting you up for some good things. Getting your heart ready. Why do you think He's spending all this time getting your heart ready? I believe He's got some seed coming at you that's going to change your life forever. Amen. The Lord is good. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen to me. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let the devil lie to you. What you've been taught as a child here in this church is the truth. And you just need to understand the Lord loves you. But when you walk away from the things of God, you open yourself up to destruction. And I implore someone's, you can't do it because mama wants you to. You can't do it because Pastor Mark wants you to. I pray the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know. I pray the Lord would show you your future on the path that you're on, and that it would cause you to come back and do things God's way. You know, living in sin does not make someone a bad person, so to speak. It just makes them miserable. And it causes God not to be able to give him the highest and the best. So I'm not going to do anything with this. I just don't want everybody looking around. While I'm saying this, God so loves you. God cares about you so much. And I understand the warnings of God. He doesn't try to warn us to depress us or make us feel bad. He warns us because he loves us. And whoever God corrects, it's because he loves us. Now I want to encourage everybody in this room. I want you to pray for somebody this week. How awesome it would be if everybody in our church prayed for one person this way, and then we had another 600 people that suddenly came alive with their soil ready to receive the word of God. That'd be pretty cool. So I'm asking you to pray. And I believe that God's going to use you in a great and mighty way. Y'all stand.